Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaigns. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. If you're listening by internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, please dial 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. I trust that all is well with you, and I'm going to get right into a brief lesson tonight that I believe will help us in our journey. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Knowing that this is the day that you have made, we rejoice and are glad. We thank you for the honor and the privilege to come before your presence and see authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought as I make known the manifold wisdom of God. I do lean to the Holy Spirit tonight to give me the insight needed for your precious people. And Father, in everything, you be glorified for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hebrews the 10th chapter, verses 14-18. For by one single offering he hath forever completely cleansed and perfected, I'm reading out the Amplified version, those who are consecrated and are made holy. And also the Holy Spirit adds his testimony. confirmation of this. For having said, this is the immediate testament covenant that I will set up and conclude with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their hearts, and I will inscribe them on their head, on their mind, on their most innermost thoughts and understanding. He then goes on to say, and their sins and their law breakings will I remember no more. That where there is an absolute remission, forgiveness, and cancellation of the penalty of these sins and law breakings, there is no longer any offering made to atone for sin. The Word of God gives us a very clear picture here that God, whenever he does his work through the Lord Jesus, has afforded Jesus the authority to finish it once and for all. And I often am concerned about the body of Christ because we are living in a generation that needs to understand where exactly we are with God. That is not a religious coincidence that we are transitioning in the manner and the light that we are transitioning. And so on Thursdays, I'll be teaching, generally dealing with, again, doctrines, disciplines, and discipleship. But in order to do that, we need to have some fundamentals established. And so one of the fundamentals that we will have to go over is the covenant consciousness that is needed to exist as a Christian. Scripture says that if the foundations be destroyed, then what shall the righteous do? Our spiritual capacity is activated by our trust in the Holy Spirit to navigate our theology through the Scriptures that brings us to a personal intimacy with Father God. Our faith then is the compass of what we hope for, validating intellectual pursuits to attain spiritual truths through the pattern of humility displayed through the power and reality of Jesus Christ. The natural intellect must then be developed to spirituality, and the exploration of Christianity through the aspects of discipleship, discipline, and doctrines brings us to an affixed belief system that serves as a validated basis of our lifestyle of faith. It is the nature of God to reveal to us greater aspects of our life through humility. And the more we come into communion with God, illumination floods our understanding with divine light through worship. And it is then the Spirit in our personality with his involvement and perception through the voice of intelligence to set an established order that develops a legitimate belief construct. I believe that we have to resolve that Jesus really did what he claimed and has revealed himself to be after he raised from the dead. The Hebrew writer felt that it was necessary when he was bringing forth the comparison of the old covenant versus the new covenant to bring an emphasis that the sacrifices that are given for sin are abolished through that one sacrifice that perfected us and caused us to be named among those that are set apart for God. The Hebrew writer understood that there would be a people that did not truly understand what all it meant to be redeemed from sin. And as a result, there would need to be a teaching out there that could clearly outline how we could accept the things of God and exist in a new covenant that is established upon better promises. It then resolves to the Holy Spirit as being that conduit that makes it possible for us. Why am I saying this to you, preachers? If there is unhealthy appreciation on the finished work of the Lord Jesus, you will not confidently exist in what every Christian needs to experience. And it begins with there being an allowance, an acceptance, an affirmation that only the Holy Spirit can seal in our hearts by the moving and the engineering of our faith. For our Christian life to really be evolved. So I want to leave you with something. I'm not going to be on very long tonight, but I want to leave you with something to think about. Every Christian needs to experience five things. Our confidence in God will only be displayed when these things are evident in our lives. And the first is an essentials of Christianity. That's number one. It needs to be some type of referencing point. Whenever you go to Hebrews, it's a good book to really begin a biblical foundation for new believers, because it gives a pattern as to what is expected out of those that believe. But if no one knows, I'm sorry. If anyone knows, thank you. If anyone knows, if no one teaches, rather, the distinctions and the distinctive marks of the foundational teachings of what Christianity is all about, if no one confidently knows it, then they won't confidently exist in the privileges that come as a result of having essentials. That's why the psalm writer wrote that if the foundations be destroyed, what then would the righteous do? We need to have essentials to Christianity. Amen. The second thing that we need is evidence. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. By this the elders obtained a good report. We not only need to establish a good dialogue about having faith, but we need to establish a dialogue that provides proof that our faith is intact. The whole deliberation that James had, telling us that faith without works is dead, faith without proofs is fake, brings to light the importance of us not only merely talking a talk that we coined under the faith jargon, but actually living out our faith through trusting God, applying our knowledge of the voice of God to our everyday affairs on a consistent basis as a natural regimen to our Christian walk. When we become comfortable with that, we will have confidence to represent God. Why? Because we are established upon a foundation that is assured. And what's our sure foundation? The final authority of the Word of God and the finished work of the Lord Jesus. And so when those things are in question, then all else is obscure. So we got to go back to some foundation. And when I give you these five things, I've given you two so far, when you see these things not at work in the lives of the people, they lack confidence and they don't grow because they can't trust what they don't know. And it's a real, a very, very, very real predicament that I'm describing and depicting in my dialogues with the church. We have a people that are not taught in the ways of God, and therefore they are not confidently representing God to the best of their natural ability, or their ability, rather, whether it be natural or not, is neither here nor there, but their ability is not up to par, and so therefore God doesn't have anything to work with. So we've got to make some changes. Amen. Glory to God. Thirdly, now this is the key one. This is one of the key ones that I feel that we need to have, and that is efficient responses to prayer. Not just an efficient prayer life, but one that actually gets answers back from God, because when a person knows that they've heard from God, they will have no problem going to God. A lot of the reasons why people have problems going to God is because they don't have confidence in the knowledge of the voice of God. And therein thus lies the problem. Fourthly, there needs to be encounters with the supernatural. We're a supernatural people. But this is another thing that I'm learning too. You can't conjure the Spirit of God up. Nor can you. There are prescribed ways in the scripture. You know, come before his presence with thanksgiving, enter to his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, of course, it reveals the dynamic of his goodness. But we have to balance that out, amen. And we cannot allow the enemy to run havoc in our lives and prevent us from really attaining a depth in the relationship with God so that we can confidently represent him through the power that is at work in our lives. And we can't fake this through conjuring up God or trying to create seances and disguising them under prayer. We must allow the Holy Spirit to have time and have a knowledge of the Holy Spirit through the written word of God as to how he operates, and then expect him to perform in the best fashion that he has described in the scriptures. And when that's not done, then we get into limits and games and a distort how Christianity is your Christianity is. Amen. I would encourage you to get Pat Harrison's book on learning the ways of the Holy Spirit to really help you with that, because his indwelling presence and his outpouring power. This is wonderful book just to kind of help people get involved in the things of God. Amen. Amen. And then from encounters with the supernatural, there needs to be enlightenment from the Holy Spirit, and that comes through an unveiling of revelation knowledge through divine understanding. Of course, you know, the scripture tells us, Paul prays this for the people, as I'm going to pray for you in a second, that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, and they might know what is the hope of his calling to us that he believes he's ready to. So I pray that through this scripture, you will see that we need these things to happen in our lives. Essentials for Christianity, evidence for faith, official responses to their prayer life, encounters with the supernatural, and enlightenment from the power of the Holy Spirit. For by a single offering, he has forever completely cleansed and perfected those who are consecrated and made holy. The Holy Spirit adds his testimony to us in confirmation of this, that he will set up and conclude after those days, and the Lord will imprint his laws upon the hearts and inscribe them on their mind, their innermost thoughts, and their understanding. Why? Because they've been enlightened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that their sins and their lawbreaking things will he remember no more. Such a great scripture. Amen? Well, I'm going to let you off early tonight. I'm going to get some rest. And next week we're going to get into another dynamic teaching of the Word of God. We have some new material. The president's going to be back next week, including some of the things for the business on Sunday. And on Tuesday, in our ministry series, and if you're in the ministry, I would encourage you to call in on Tuesday. Let me know that you're listening, but we're going to be dealing with ministry on Tuesday, and Thursday nights we're going to be dealing with doctrine, disciplines, and discipleship, and go on from there. Amen. So just be giving you truths, more truths about the Word of God. Well, let's go keep going further. I thank you for those of you who've been praying. We're continuing to uplift Pastor Jackie and one of our pastors, the Ministers Fellowship that we have in the organization. We thank God that she's doing better, and we're going to continue to believe God for complete manifestation. We're also in agreement for Sister Shakita that the anointed of God, that the miraculous will step in at this point and assist in the recovery and the strengthening of her body and the total recovery from the challenges that she's having with cancer. We're believing God for so many people that are being attacked. But remember, this is a period of transition, and we're transitioning to the dispensation of grace. Let me say this right quick before I pray. I was listening to someone saying, you know, this is the dispensation of grace, and I realized they did not have an understanding on what that meant. When we transition, we are readjusting our perception. We are readjusting our perception and maturing and refining our conduct so that when the blessing of God is evident, we can grab an attempt. We are not scapegoating from trials and tribulations ordained by God. But we are fighting with that. And I want to be talking about that in the gospel, how the doctrine can really distort the perception. You can be familiar with the gospel, but it's not good. And therefore, it's not gospel at all, because gospel is good news. And someone was trying to define to me the other day the dispensation of grace. And they had a negative connotation on it. And I said, wait a minute, maybe you don't get it. The dispensation of grace is going to be one of the greatest experiences, the greatest things the church and the body of Christ have ever known. Because it's the dispensation of grace. It's not the dispensation of taking out of a situation. That's mercy. That's not grace. Grace is divine favor, divine authority. And in order for that, we're going to have to talk about this dispensation of grace. And so on Thursdays, I will go into that, but before we do that, we do need to stretch some foundational roots and go over that to kind of get you used to the language that's about to be the norm on this. We're going to get in depth in the Word of God, even more like never before, like you've never heard. We're going to be discussing the Word on another level. So I want to encourage you, those of you who are pastors and things like that, can get into some of these sessions, especially when we're doing grace and doctrine and discipleship. I've condensed the doctrine of discipline and discipleship to one series, and I want to deal with about five or six components of it and kind of break down just some very key points of it. So we may expand it further in the year. But join us Sunday. We're going to be dealing with some business principles that you've never heard. And if you did last year, the first part of the Pope series, you want to hear the rest of it on Sunday at 10 o'clock. Thank you for listening. I pray that the grace of God will multiply that the finished work will be based on the final authority of the Word of God that is applied. And, of course, us finding who God out is through the fountain of the Holy Spirit that continues to well us with the water of truth and nourish us into the places that you called us to be. Anoint your preachers with great grace to study and to get involved into what you're saying to the church. First through your written word, and then, Father, what you place on their hearts as the imprints of the Spirit, the convictions of the Spirit that will be released. Father, I pray right now that the glory of God will rest upon your servants as they are going about their various ministries. And Father, I thank you for the privilege to be able to share with them some of the little things that are going on. But Father, we do know go together that the best are yet. God, I just pray that the blessings of the Lord will continue to saturate them. And Father, I pray right now on the unction of the Holy Ghost that anyone that is dealing with any physical sickness or attack through the season of transition, I cancel the assignment of the enemy. I bind it. I render it helpless. I demand that the enemy will lose his grip off of your elect. And then, Father, simultaneously, we lose the power of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God that surpasses and transcends all knowledge and understanding, that surpasses all understanding, which guard our hearts and minds through the Lord Jesus. I pray that the power of the Lord Jesus, his resurrection power, that quickens our own body, will be evident in their lives. You sent your word and you healed your people. And, Father, I speak the blessing of the Lord that wholeness would come, that healing would come, that restoration would come in the land of living. Before they close their eyes, they will be completely whole and able to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And Father, in everything you be glorified, you be magnified. You alone are worthy and holy and magnificent in all the earth, Father. We praise you for the privilege of being in your presence. And Father, I pray that you would bless the healers. I know I said, God, I gave them things that I know they need, and I reviewed some teaching that we've already communicated in a different light. Let them know that they're going to need a center for their Christianity, evidence for their faith, Father, that they're going to need to have efficient responses to their prayer life, and they're going to have, Father, encounters with your precious power that is released through the understanding of the Holy Spirit. And then, Father, more importantly, that they would have enlightenment that would set them apart in revelation, knowledge, and understanding and wisdom. Father, you can do it, Father. We thank you that you've already started the process and that you're able to perform it even before we ask. Thank you, praise you. And we thank you because you're worthy and you alone will get all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is the Ron Real and founder of the Reward Campaign, host of Rhema Remedy Radio. Thank you for listening to tonight. God bless you and good night.